Good morning. He is risen. All right, you guys are lively today, I can tell. Very good. All right, awesome. So we're just going to begin the message today with a short video. So let's watch up front.
I know. It doesn't seem like they do. When you look at your life, you only see the highlights, never the small moments. But that's not how God sees it. Little things matter. Small kindnesses, tiny cruelties, minuscule decisions to do the right or the wrong thing that we instantly forget and never dwell on again, matter to God. Our lives are not made of momentous actions and heroic gestures. They are made of millions of tiny actions, choices, and attitudes, all of which are seen and remembered by the Creator of the universe. We define ourselves with our trophies and diplomas, our accomplishments. But we are leaving out the doors we held for strangers, the kind words we gave to the afflicted, and the smiles we gave to those that needed them. Little things matter. Make a point to get them right. Do the nice thing. Do the hard thing. Do the right thing, no matter how small. It all matters.
Amen. So that kind word, that hug you gave to somebody in the church, you have no idea how it impacted them and how it will cascade into the future. So it all matters. Amen? Amen. Every choice matters. And every choice we make takes us down a path. So the choices we make determine the paths we go down. I'll give you three examples. Almost 24 years ago, an anonymous young woman chose against an abortion and instead gave birth to a little girl and gave her up for adoption. Today, that baby girl is a young woman sharing the gospel in a communist country. It all matters. Another example, 28 years ago, a busy man with a full-time job, a wife, two small children, and a mortgage, anybody relate? Chose to volunteer to share the gospel at an Easter egg hunt sponsored by a small church. And one of the children who heard the gospel that day was moved to surrender her life to Jesus. That young woman grew up and has shared the gospel with hundreds of middle and high school students. It all matters. 7 years ago, a young man chose to go to India to join a team to rescue children from sex slavery. As part of that chapter in his great adventure, he met the woman who would become his wife. It all matters. You know, when I went to bed last night, Danny and Naloma hadn't quite made it from Atlanta yet. When I got up this morning, they were sleeping, but there's this giant elephant in our kitchen, so I knew they had made it. But the elephant wasn't in the living room, it was in the dining room. So anyway, the statement, "It all matters," reminds me of an old song by Jeff Moore and The Distance. Anybody remember them? Yeah, they were awesome. So the song was entitled "Only a Fool," and the first verse and the chorus go like this. Charlie was a fool. Did you hear what he went and did? He quit his job, threw it all away, and gave his life to a bunch of kids. He said he was in love with Jesus. But his friends didn't understand. He could have had it all. But he just smiled and said that he already did. He saw the big in the small. He saw the beauty in the call. even when no one else approved, he took the job only a fool would do. Each of us could tell stories about how choices we made or choices other people made in the past have affected our present and will affect our future. And I think we all agree that choices, the choices we make, really do matter. I think we can also agree that how the choices we make will affect the future is unknown to us. We don't know when we make a decision, when we make a choice, how it will really affect the future. So how do we know what choices then to make if we don't know how they'll impact the future? So today we're going to begin a series of messages that hopefully will help us with the choices that we make. So let's first begin with Jesus. That'd be okay? Talk about Jesus in church? Yes, amen? Okay, good. That's good. If anybody said no, we need to talk after the service. So Jesus made a choice. He saw the big and the small. He saw the beauty in the call. Even when no one else approved, he took the job only a fool would do. He made some choices. First choice, he left heaven. Now, God is three persons in one, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son chose to leave heaven and become also a man. And we call this the incarnation. He left perfection to be Emmanuel, God with us. He left perfection to enter the drama, the chaos, and the darkness of the human experience. You know what I'm talking about. And he gave everything he had for others. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. I know I quote this a lot. I hope you're okay with it. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave up everything so that we could have the opportunity to have eternal life. And then he returned to heaven. He was crucified on a Friday. He rose from the dead on a Sunday. He is risen, and after his resurrection, he spent some time with his disciples, and then he ascended into heaven. Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8, 9, say this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they, his disciples, were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of sight. So Jesus made his choice to open a door for us to receive the gift of eternal life through his incarnation, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension. That was the choice he made. And then he calls us to make a choice. And it's a very similar choice. First, he calls us to leave the heaven we are trying to create. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're all trying to create a little heaven bubble around us, aren't we? If only my space was like heaven, I would be in heaven. He calls us instead to leave our little heaven bubble that we try and create and to follow him. And this is surrender. Tim, leave your heaven and come experience mine. And then he calls us to give everything we have for others. In Matthew chapter 20, he says this, whoever would be great among you must score the most points. Oh, wait. Wrong version. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And I know we don't like that word slave, and I get that. That's from the translation. You could put the word servant in there, and it would fit. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, you all have gifts, amen? You all have God-given gifts. So as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's various grace. And then he calls us home to heaven. We don't need to create a heaven bubble because we have the promise of a home. I've never experienced homelessness. I know some people who have. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and not knowing where you're going to end the day? Not having a place to go. Well, as followers of Christ, we have a place to go forever. And so, he calls us home to heaven. So Jesus calls us to follow him, but we have to make a choice. We can choose to follow our own path, or we can refuse to stay behind, and we can follow Jesus. We can refuse to stay behind, or we can follow Jesus. So let's take a few minutes to paint a picture of what it looks like to refuse to stay behind. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. Page 301 in the Bible is provided. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to talk about Elijah and Elisha. Try not to get the two confused. So Elijah was a prophet. He's a mighty man of God, and God worked through him in mighty ways. If you don't know much about Elijah, read 1 Kings chapter 18 and see how amazing Elijah is. And so one day God said this to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha to be a prophet in your place." And so in verse 19, it says this, "So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen." So that's 24 oxen. That's a lot of oxen in front of him. "And he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And Elijah said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done for you?' And he, Elisha, returned from following Elijah and took the yoke of oxen, sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." So Elijah did go to Elisha. He cast his cloak on him, which meant Elijah was saying to Elisha, "You are one day going to be my replacement. You are going to be the prophet in my place after I leave." Elijah was inviting Elisha to follow him and prepare to become a prophet. So what did Elisha do? He did what any good son would do. Sons in the room, any good son would do. He kissed his mother and his father goodbye. Then he gave away all his stuff to others. And he began to serve as Elijah's assistant. Elisha refused to stay behind. Now, Elisha could have made other decisions. He could have said, "No thanks. I don't want to be a prophet of God. I like my oxen. I like plowing the fields. I like my life just the way it is. It's kind of a little heaven bubble around me. And so I'm happy right where I'm at. I like this life I've carved out for myself." That's one decision he could have made. Or he could have said this, wow, being a prophet is cool. I really want to be a prophet. I don't want to be your assistant. When you need a prophet, come back and make me a prophet. But in the meantime, I don't want anything to do with being a prophet assistant. I want to be a prophet, but I don't want to do what it takes to get there. So the choice Elisha made was to refuse to stay behind. Now let's fast forward to when it's time for Elijah to leave this world and for Elisha to take his place. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. So flip over a few pages. 2 Kings chapter 2. And as I read this passage, I want you to notice, what did Elisha do and what did the other prophets do? So verse 1 says this. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Elisha refused to stay behind. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he said, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he, Elisha, said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Elisha refused what? To stay behind. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you? And he answered, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he, Elisha, said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Do you see a little pattern here? You're like, man, this is so repetitive. There's a reason why it's repetitive. So we remember it. Elisha refused to do what? To stay behind. Now, what about the other prophets? What did they do? The prophets in Bethel and Jericho, they had the opportunity to travel with Elijah as well, but rather than travel ahead with Elijah, they stayed in their little heaven bubbles that they had created for themselves. But in verse 7, there were 50 prophets that traveled a little bit. It says, 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, from Elijah and Elisha, as they were both standing by the Jordan. So there were 50 prophets that had followed Elijah and Elisha, but at a distance. They had a desire to observe God take Elijah away, but they remained spectators rather than participants. So if I were to use a Cleveland Browns analogy, if I were, the prophets that stayed in Bethel and Jericho, they would be like all the fans that looked out and said, it's going to rain today, I'm going to watch the game on TV. The 50 prophets, those are the fans that go, you know what, it's going to rain today, but we want to see the game up close and personal. We will sit in the stands. But Elisha played on the field. He got into the game. Now, if I were to use a Browns analogy, that's what it was. But I won't use that. But to the end, Elisha refused to stay behind. Verse 8, then Elijah took his cloak. This gets awesome here. Took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water of the Jordan, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. Remember our study of the book of Joshua. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So Elijah, had repeatedly given Elisha the opportunity to stay behind. But Elisha refused to stay behind. So now the two were standing alone on the other side of the Jordan. And Elijah asked Elisha a very important question. Verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit for me." Elijah says, "What can I do for you before I'm taken up?" And Elisha asked for a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Would you like a double portion of the Holy Spirit? Whew. You know, there are a lot of people in this world who would like a double portion. They would like to be twice as good as LeBron James in basketball. They would like to be twice as good at singing as Rihanna and Adele. Are they still an in thing? Are they okay? I had to look it up. Who are the popular singers in 2018? They want to have twice as much money as Bill Gates. And there are some who want to have an impact in the world twice as great as Mother Teresa or Jim Elliot. The world is filled with people who want a double portion, but they want to stay in Bethel or Jericho to get it. Erwin McManus, the author of the book, The Last Arrow, writes this about the choice to remain behind. When we choose to remain behind, we also leave behind all that God desires to do in us and for us and through us. If we want to inherit a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, we need to walk in the steps of Elijah until he leaves no more footprints. Verse 10, and he, Elijah, said to Elisha, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." Elisha, if you refuse to stay behind, you receive the double portion of the spirit that you asked for. And as they still went on and talked, listen to what happens now. As they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Man, that would have been cool to see. This Kings is a book of history. It's not poetry like the Psalms. So when it's described like that, that's what happened. That's amazing. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him, he saw Elijah no more. So Elisha had just witnessed the most dramatic exit from human history ever any human had ever experienced, except for Jesus when he ascended into heaven. Can you imagine what Elisha saw? God takes Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind with chariots and horses of fire. I don't even know what a chariot of fire looks like, but it's on fire. But what else happened at that moment? Elisha received a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Elijah promised. If you see me go, you will receive a double portion. And so now Elisha has seen Elijah go, and he's received a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, Elisha has a choice to make. Think about it. He just saw this amazing God thing happen. chariots of fire and horses of fire and a whirlwind. And Elijah, you know, Elijah didn't die. He just went to heaven. And then he got the Holy Spirit, double portion of the Holy Spirit. He could have looked around and said, awesome. That was amazing. I'm filled with the Spirit in an amazing way. Life is going to be good from now on. I'm just going to make a little heaven bubble right here. He could have chose that. He could have chose to stay behind. But instead, he refused to stay behind. Listen to what he did. Then he took hold of his own clothes, tore them into two pieces, and he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, so he comes up to the Jordan, he takes the cloak, he strikes the water, and he says this, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over, crossed to the other side. See, Elisha refused to stay behind. He changed out of his assistant role and into the prophet role. And he stepped across the Jordan. And when he stepped up to the Jordan, what did he do? He was filled with God's blessing, his gifting, his Spirit. And he cried out, and this is a declaration, not a question. He says, where's the Lord, the God of Elijah? And he's making that declaration. It's like, you want to see what I got? Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And boom, he hits the water and the water parts. He wasn't wondering if God was going to show up. He was declaring that God will show up. I picture it like a scene out of the movies. Who's the guy, like, who's the manliest movie guy you can think of? All right, who plays Thor? That's pretty cool, right? Anybody know? Nobody knows who the actor is who plays Thor? Chris, what? Yeah, that guy. All right, so chariots of fire, so where there's fire, there's smoke. So just picture, here comes Thor, not Thor, but Elisha, looking like Thor or something like that. And he's got the cloak on, he comes out of the smoke, right? And he walks up to the Jordan River, and he takes his cloak off, and he strikes the river. Where is the Lord? The God of Elijah. And the river goes like that. And then he walks off, I don't know, maybe it's foggy, he walks into the fog. He walks into the next chapter in his great adventure. See, Elisha could have stayed on this side of the Jordan. But remember those prophets that hadn't followed Elijah? Remember the people of Israel on that side of the Jordan? They still needed to hear about God. So Elisha refused to stay behind in this wonderful heaven bubble that he had. And instead, he went back into the darkness and chaos and drama of the human experience. He stepped into the next chapter of his great adventure. He refused to stay behind. In every season of life, we have the opportunity to stay behind. Choosing comfort over destiny, safety rather than opportunity, settling for less instead of sacrificing more. In college, we can choose to stay behind because we have so much studying to do. We can catch up with Jesus later. When we start out in a new career, we can choose to stay behind because we have to get established and begin climbing the ladder. We can catch up with Jesus later on. When we've climbed the ladder, we can choose to stay behind because there's so much to do just to stay on the ladder. We can catch up with Jesus later. When we're raising a family, we can choose to stay behind because parenting is so time-consuming. And trust me, I get that. Betsy and I changed diapers for 14 years. They have a plaque at the landfill for us. So parenting is so time-consuming, we can choose to catch up with Jesus later. When we retire, we can choose to stay behind because now it's time to rest up and to catch up on all the things we couldn't do because of college and climbing the ladder and raising a family. We can catch up with Jesus later. But why would anyone choose to stay behind and have to catch up with Jesus later? Wouldn't it be amazing to have a double portion of the power of the Holy Spirit while we're in college, while we're starting a career, while we're raising a family, while we're trying to stay on the top of the ladder, while we're entering or in retirement? But if we want a double portion of the power of the Holy Spirit, what do we need to do? We need to refuse to stay behind. We need to take all that God has blessed us with, and we need to cry out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And then we need to move. The choice to refuse to stay behind requires us to choose to move. Elisha tore off his clothes. I don't recommend you do that here. He put on Elijah's cloak, and he put his trust in God. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He put his trust in God. So what is your next move? Do we want everything that God has for us? Erwin McManus in his book said this about himself. He says, I do not want to watch God from a distance. Neither do I want to hear the amazing stories of God's activity in the world as if they are fables made for other people in an ancient time. I want to live the kind of life that cannot be lived without the fullness of Christ in my life. So what is your next move? And we're just going to pause for a moment. Everybody can just close their eyes for a moment. Be as still as you can. And let you ask that question and let the Lord maybe speak something to your heart. What is my next move? Amen. So some of you may have heard the Lord speak to you. Some of you it may have been like a blinding flash of the obvious. I know exactly what my next move is. And some of you are unsure. And so that's a question to ask yourself this week as you spend time with the Lord. What's my next move, Lord? Do we trust Jesus enough to refuse to stay behind? Do we trust him enough for him to show us what our next move is? As we refuse to stay behind and we move forward in our faith, we need to choose to walk on the path Jesus is walking on. Listen to what John 12:26 says. John 12:26. If anyone, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So as I looked at that verse this week, I had this personal revelation about myself, and I'll just share it. I can become more focused on serving the Lord than following him. And when I read this verse, I thought, wait a minute. If I'm focused on serving him and I'm not following him, then he's over there and I'm over here. And I'm not serving him because he's over there and I'm over here. So if I'm going to serve him, I need to follow him so that I'm with him so I can serve him. Does that make sense? Made great sense to me. If I follow Jesus, I will be where he is, and that's where I will be able to serve him. I'm not really serving him if I'm not first following him. And that's what that verse says to me. So the path you and I need to be on is the path that Jesus is on. If we want everything that God has for us, then we need to move on the path that Jesus is walking on. So I want to close with this question of reflection. I think it's up there. There we go. Am I moving forward on God's great adventure, or have I found myself settling when I should be advancing? We need to refuse to stay behind. We need to refuse to believe that God is less today than he was yesterday. Whatever the path the Lord is leading you on, no matter what it costs, no matter what it demands of you, refuse to stay behind. If you stay behind, you will miss what God is doing in you, what he will do through you. I don't know what would have happened if John Kovach had not volunteered to share the gospel at that Easter egg outreach at Hope Community Church 28 years ago. But I know what happened because he stepped up and did. We need to be on the path that the Lord is on, and that the path that he wants us to be on. And that's where your great adventure will begin. That's where God will be working in you and through you. If you're serving him over here and he's over there, the only person who'll be here with you is me when I'm serving him over here when he's over there. And I'm going to try not to be there very often. Amen? So let's refuse to stay behind. Let's pray. So Lord, I confess there are times when I'm not on the path that you're walking on. And I don't want to be there. So, Lord, I want to refuse to stay behind. I want to follow you no matter what it costs, no matter what it demands, no matter what it seems like. Maybe it's not even what should be done, but it's where you're going, and so I want to follow you. And, Lord, I just pray that for each one of us, that we wouldn't choose to remain behind and catch up to you later. That we would choose to move on the path that you're walking on. So, Lord, show us what our next move is. Show us, Lord, the path that you're calling us to. And, Lord, give us faith to be able to say, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Not as a question, but as a declaration. So, Lord, I pray over our church family that this would be a week of walking with you, refusing to stay behind, and trusting that the choices we make this week will matter for all eternity. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. Subscribe to the podcast now, and for more info, including sermon outlines, visit our website at www.kurtlandchristian.org.